Hello and welcome to the next broadcast in our series concerning Calvin's heresy. He said eternal life is foreordained for some and eternal damnation for others. That's heresy, plain and simple. Stay tuned for our broadcast today. I'm quoting from John Calvin's Institute, book number 3, chapter 23, where Calvin said, quote, eternal life is foreordained for some and eternal damnation for others. Every man, therefore, being created for one or the other of these ends, we say he is predestined either to life or to death. Now, that is a blatant attack on the character of God, and that is just plain heresy. According to Calvinism, we do not have a free will. Well, let's just look at the Ten Commandments concerning free will. Exodus 20 and verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Deuteronomy 17 and 3 says, they served other gods. Exodus 20 and 4 says, thou shalt not make any graven images. Psalm 78:58 talks about their graven images. Exodus 20 and 7 says, not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Psalm 139 verse 20 says, for they take thy name in vain. Exodus 20 and 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Nehemiah 13:17 tells us they profane the Sabbath day. Exodus 20 and 13 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Matthew 10 and 21 says they raise up against their parents. Exodus 20 and 13 says, thou shalt not kill. Psalm 94 and 6 says they murdered the fatherless. Exodus 20 and 14 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jeremiah 23:14 says they commit adultery. Exodus 20 and 15, thou shalt not steal. Ephesians 4:28, steal no more. Apparently they were having a problem stealing. Exodus 20 and 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. Psalm 27 and verse 12 says they bear false witness against me. Exodus 20 and 17, thou shalt not covet. Achan said in Joshua 7 and 21, I coveted and I took. According to Calvinism, if we are saved, God chooses or elects us to salvation. By his unconditional election theory, Calvin meant that some are elected to heaven while others are elected to hell. It is wholly on God's part, and we have nothing to do with our eternal destiny. This means that God decides before we are born that we are going to burn in hell forever or be in heaven forever. We are simply pawns in God's big chess game. Calvinism further teaches that God would be glorified by bringing your family into this world to torment them in hell for eternity. This is wicked, absolute wicked blasphemy. Lest you think I have misrepresented Calvin, let him speak for himself. Let me repeat again. In his Institutes, book 3, chapter 23, Calvin said, quote, eternal life is foreordained for some and eternal damnation for others. Every man, therefore, being created for one or the other of these ends, we say he is predestined either to life or to death, unquote. According to Calvinism, it might be your mother, your little boy, your daughter, your wife, and all the children in the church nursery that God will delight in sending to hell, and it might even be you, after all, getting all emotional and praying a little prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, is not going to get you to heaven if God has determined that you are going to hell. Calvinists distort scriptures by using only part of verses. I'll give you some examples. Ephesians 1 and 4, they like to quote the first part of this verse. It says, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. However, the entire verse reads, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. That's what he chose. This verse says nothing about being chosen for heaven or hell. It speaks of how God has chosen Christians to live the way he wants them to live. Calvinists like to quote John 15, verse 16, says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Well, the entire verse reads, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." He said, "I've chosen you to go and bear forth fruit." This verse has nothing to say about going to heaven or hell. It says God has chosen Christians to bear fruit. And the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." The Bible says in Acts 10, verse 34, God is no respecter of persons. That means your mother, your little boy, your daughter, your wife, and all the children in the church nursery are included when God closed out his Bible with the invitation in Revelation 22:17, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4 refers to God who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Calvinists go to great lengths to destroy the plain meaning of this verse. They say all doesn't mean all. There is no end of their interpretation of this verse using their "this is what the Bible says, but this is what the Bible means" theory. We said in the previous broadcast what Charles Haddon Spurgeon had to say about this comment. I want to repeat it. He said that he got some Calvinists very upset when he said, and I quote, that 1 Timothy 2:4, "who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Spurgeon said, "What then? Shall we try to put another meaning into the text than what is fairly bears? I throw not. You must, most of you, be acquainted with the general method in which our older Calvinistic friends deal with this text. All men, say they, is some men, as if the Holy Ghost could not have said some men if he meant some men. All men, they say, that is some of all sorts of men, as if the Lord could not say that if that is what he meant," unquote. Well, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it without apology. To teach that God has predestined anyone to be born only to burn in hell for eternity is heresy. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world," get it now, "that we should be holy and without blame before him." Not that we should be saved, but as Christians, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." Let's finish the verse. "To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Then whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." He is foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son. To accept Calvin's position, we would have to translate this verse to say, "Whom he did unconditionally elect, he also unconditionally elected." Jesus said in Revelation 22:13, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Obviously, then, God knows the beginning and the end. Simply put, God knows everything. You don't have to make something spooky about the subject of God's foreknowledge unless you're a Calvinist trying to support Calvinism. God, in his foreknowledge, knows who will trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. However, that does not mean he has to make the decision for them to be saved. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, Come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men." John 12:32 says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." 2 Peter 3:9 tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 5:12 says, "All have sinned," and Acts 17:30 says, "God commandeth all men everywhere to be saved." To teach that God's love is limited is to teach heresy. The basic Calvinistic theory of limited atonement is that the death of Christ on Calvary's cross was limited only for those that they call the elect. This means it would be impossible to tell a sinner who was not one of their so-called elect that Christ died for them. The teaching of Calvin concerning limited atonement means that God ordained some people for heaven and ordained the rest to suffer in hell for eternity. This is a wicked, blasphemous attack on the character of God, who tells us in verse after verse after verse in the Bible that Christ died for everyone. 1 John 2:2 tells us that He, Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. To use the Calvinist solution to support Calvinism by changing the word world to elect, this verse would need to read, "Christ is the propitiation for the elect sins, and not for the elect only, but also for the sins of the elect." How stupid is that? 1 Timothy 2:6 plainly says, "Christ gave himself a ransom for all." All means all. The word world means world. John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." As mentioned in a previous broadcast, Arthur W. Pink says, quote, "The world in John 3:16 must, in the final analysis, refer to the world of God's people. Must we say, for there is no other alternative solution." The only solution for a Calvinist, if he's going to support his heresy with Scripture, is to change the meaning of the words of Scripture. John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." It does not say that God sent his Son to the elect to condemn the elect, that the elect might be saved. More nonsense. 1 John 2:2 says, "And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." What part of the whole world is too difficult for these people to understand? The whole world. 1 John 4:14 says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." To teach that man is not able to choose or refuse is ridiculous. Genesis 13:11, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. 1 Samuel 13:2, Saul chose 3,000 men. Exodus 17:9, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose out some men and go fight." Hebrews 11:25, "Choosing to suffer affliction." Joshua 24:15, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." Proverbs 1:29, "They did not choose the fear of the Lord." The word "choose" is in the Bible over 60 times, and the word always means choose. Cults and Calvinism can only survive when they say that this is what the Bible says, but this is what it means. When the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense, or you'll have some of Calvin's nonsense. Well, we're out of time. Tune in again tomorrow. We'll look at some more verses about choosing and refusing. We'll try to make it plain, and we will try to make it simple.